All right, 13 past 7 o'clock here on WPHM. It is Thursday morning. It's Halloween season. It's haunting time. And I'm so glad that we get a chance to talk with Chris Troy, who knows all the best haunts in St. Clair County. Chris, good morning.
You know, that has a whole different thing from when I was younger when people said the best haunts. So, good morning,
The best haunted areas. Your documentary reminded me of the name of the documentary.
Haunted Blue Water Area.
Haunted Blue Water Area. How many different places did you visit?
We took a look at 6 locations. And when we filmed that, the whole idea originally was to tell the history of these locations with the little footnote, asterisk, oh, by the way, people say there's ghosts here. But that's up to you.
By the way, where do you fall on the whole paranormal thing? Is this something that you're way into? You're not into at all?
You know?
Skeptical?
I was 100%, 1,000% skeptic until 1995 when I purchased a home and started remodeling it. It was one of the first major rehabs I did. And the things that went on in that house, from visually seeing things to objects moving around by themselves, to made me a firm believer. But saying that, I sit and I listen to other people's stories after living through that, and it's just like, yeah, that was nothing like my experience. I don't believe you. You know, and I guess everyone sees things different or whatever.
Yeah.
But but I went into this film thinking, okay, all these locations, they're just kind of rumors.
Right.
But they're all interesting history locations. Yeah. So we're going to focus it on that point.
Right.
And surprise, surprise, at a few locations, we got some interesting things happen.
The reason we're talking about this is the main branch of the St. Clair County Library here in Port Huron is doing an event on Monday evening, and you can call or go onto their website to get more information about it. But you'll take a trolley ride around Port Huron and see some of the haunted areas, and then you'll get a chance to watch Chris's movie back at the library afterwards. And so what are some of the things that you cover in the film?
We take a look at 6 locations in the area, locations that everyone pretty much are well familiar with. Besides, the film starts out actually with a private home, and that's one people would know about. But we look at the Carnegie Museum. We look at McMorran. We look at the Roach Bar. We take a look at what people know as 404 Huron Avenue, the subway right across from McMorran. And I feel like I'm missing one. And Murphy's Inn down in St. Clair.
Okay. All right. Interesting stuff. Yeah, you mentioned McMorran, and I did a remote there on the morning show a year or so ago, and so I show up, you know, early in the morning. Nobody's there. One person's there to let me in. She says, you know, I've heard stories, you know, that it's, and she says, the weird things happen. It kind of freaks me out being here by myself, and she had to go somewhere else, so I was sitting there by myself, and I did hear little bumps and creaks and things. Now, it's an older building, too.
Sure, sure.
But still, you know, when that door closes somewhere, and I think, there's nobody here to close that door.
Well, the funniest thing about McMorran is there had been rumors. There's this woman haunts the auditorium. Up the upper mezzanine is where they always talk about. And they had Scott Cavanaugh, who used to be the production manager there, brought in a paranormal group to do a reading and do testing. And they did a recording, you know, where they do the EVP, the electric voice phenomena. And clearly this woman's voice comes across and says, I don't belong here. And it was a woman's voice, and there were no women in the room, and it's clear as bell, and that's part of it in my film. And so they're all, everyone at McMorran, before I got involved with this, are all for sure, she used to be the house manager, here she is, here we think this is the name. Well, coming into this film and looking to try to do the historic point of view, you can't talk about McMorran without talking about what used to be there, which was the old City Hall.
Oh.
The City Hall burned, and what basically happened is I'm going through the records. I find that in 1918, there was a housekeeper who was in the upper back offices on climbing on a ladder to change some lights or something. She falls and she breaks her neck. Now, geographically, if you look at where the City Hall stood and you look at where those offices are, if you lay an overlay of the theater and the old City Hall, that mezzanine area is right where those offices used to be.
Wow.
Now, saying that, we get all done with our interview. We interviewed a couple of the staff people there and brought Scott back to hear his stories. I said, we've got some time. So I walk around with my digital recorder, and I'm like, you know, so-and-so, I'm here. There's anyone here? kind of a lark, really, to be honest with you, you know, thinking. And I said, you know, are you the old general manager? Are you the housekeeper? Are you possibly here from something before the building was here? Maybe from during the when the fire was here at City Hall? And I got this woman's voice across my recorder saying, fire. And it was one of the, and yet it was, you know, my good friend Chad Kubik, who works with me at RESA, he was doing some camera work for me. It didn't show up on his camera, on the audio of his camera, but it showed up clear as bell on my recorder. And that's in the film as well.
Wow, that's fascinating stuff. What is your, and maybe that was it, but what's your favorite ghost story in the local area?
It would have to be probably my some of the experiences that I had living up where I used to live at the North End. Though I will say this, you know, we recently purchased a new house.
I was going to ask you about that. The old Victorian Inn, the Davidson Manor. Yes. And so you've been digging into that.
We've been digging into that. And as soon as we bought it, everyone, oh, have you met Eusebia yet? No, I haven't met Eusebia yet. You know, oh, well, you know, this and this and all these blah, 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 blah. Okay, sure, no problem. It's a big old house. It creaks. Even friends of mine who worked there back in the day, well, you know, these things used to kind of happen, and these things used to kind of, very, not even thinking much about it. Well, when we closed on it, my wife Lisa and I went, and we opened it up and walked in. It had been closed up for 7 years, dank, dark, you know, smelly. We walked upstairs to the top of the stairs, and what had happened, Eusebia was actually James Davidson's daughter. And she lived there in the house till 1952. In 1951, she took a hard spill and fell down the stairs. And they brought her up, put her in one of the bedrooms at the top of the stairs, and she pretty much stayed there until she passed. Now, I don't know how if that her fall was in December or – I just know there was a year period between where her obituary shows where she had passed and supposedly that year when she had fallen. So we have a cat, and that – well, oh, and going back, we the night we closed on it, Lisa and I went in, and we kind of were walking around. We went up and stood at the top of the stairs, and being that I was experienced a little bit with these things from my old house and all the rumors, I kind of said out loud, I don't know if there is anyone here or not. Know that if you are here, you're welcome to be here as long as you don't interfere, and know that we our goal is to not make it a busy restaurant like it was in the past, but to restore it back to the same way James Davidson had it. Now, Paul, the instant I said that, both her and I, the hair stood up on our backs and arms. It got really cold, and she had a cell phone in her pocket that instantly started playing some video. Like it had been called up on YouTube or something. I'm like, what the heck? She pulls out her phone and there's a video playing.
Weird.
So that's kind of one of those. Yeah. And we have a cat. And, you know, cats are cats. And I know that there have been mice in that house. And we've had a couple bats here and there. But the cat will sit there sometimes and kind of be and stop and look and watch something or take off after it. A couple nights ago, sitting watching TV and low to the ground, something dark, something black. We have a black cat. Something dark came running in through the one room, around through a pair of French doors in the other room. And I literally made the comment, get it, Fuzz. That's our cat. You know, get it. Like, I thought he's chasing or just tearing something around. Saying that, I hear, man, I look back. Our cat heard me say Fuzz, came just kind of meandering in the room.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm looking going, so I guess that wasn't you that just tore through here. I try to remain really skeptical about stuff. But, you know, and sometimes the mind plays tricks on you. So, but there's
that's interesting stuff.
There's a lot. This town is full of so much history that, you know, some of it good, some of it bad.
Right.
You know, between the Purple Gang, and, which gets touched on in Haunted Blue Water. A lot of you know, good and bad things have happened in this town that all could kind of maybe leave their mark.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff. You're going to kill me when I ask you this. Haunted Blue Water, is that available on DVD?
It is available on DVD, yeah. And there will be copies of it the night at the museum. It was one of those things. It was, I ran out of money shooting something in the water. And we've talked before, and I've always said, I believe art should pay for art, you know. If somebody wants to see something get done, that's why there's crowdfunding. That's why there's all that stuff, you know. And So I ran out of money. It was getting to be 6 weeks before Halloween, and I knew some of these ghost stories and stuff. And I said, I'm going to produce just a small little fundraiser kind of a thing for the film. I contacted at the time the Bancrofts were working at the museum. Said, you know, could I maybe show it there? Or maybe, and absolutely. Oh, that sounds like fun. Thinking there's going to be 30, 40 people there, and I'll sell some DVDs. Well, it was neat because we called, got off the phone with them. We set up for a 7 o'clock showing the week before Halloween, and put it on social media. This was showing Haunted Blue Water, blah, blah, blah. I got a call maybe 15 minutes later from the museum. Can we do a 10 o'clock showing? And I was like, well, what happened to the 7 o'clock? We need to shift up. Oh, it sold out already. And there were 100 seats. Yeah. We quickly sold out the 10 o'clock showing, and then on Halloween had another. So, I mean, this thing has kind of been around. It's shown at the Raven, but it's a neat, you know, it's a neat, scary, plus history.
People love this
stuff. You learn
a
lot of history of the locations.
Right, exactly. No, it's great stuff. And you get a chance to see it on Monday at the St. Clair County Library. You can contact the library for more information. Chris, thanks for coming in. Always appreciate it.